So I'm here today with Delegate Danielle Walker of the 51st District. Danielle, do you mind telling us more about yourself?
I am Delegate Danielle Walker representing District 51, which is Monongalia County. Being a first-time elected official and a freshman with the 84th Legislature, I love representing the people in Monongalia County. And it's very empowering when I receive other emails and texts, and I go different places and I'm invited across my own county lines because people truly, really want representation of all people. And so with my first message of one love right after Charlottesville, I thought that that message was just going to be specific to one particular incident that had happened right across state lines. And I'm learning now that it is definitely a movement.
Absolutely. And you, I remember as a freshman just getting started at WVU, I went to the Charlottesville Candlelight Vigil, and that's where I first saw you. I remember how powerful your speech was that day. Like, it touched me. It touched everyone that was there. I definitely knew I wanted to get to know you better from that day. So I'm glad I've had the chance to get to talk to you several times over the last couple of years that I've been here in Morgantown. So that night obviously was very important to you.
Yes.
You said that was like one of the nights that made you decide to run for office, or?
That was the night that I became woke again, where I was tired of fussing with the television screen. I was tired of just having phone conversations with friends. I wanted to be active in my community. I wanted to see change. I wanted to acknowledge the change. But most of all, I wanted to be the change. I was tired of watching the news. I wanted to be the news. And so that meant that I had to be very uncomfortable. And from that one night of just putting my fears aside and acknowledging my anger and the mixed emotions, I was able to be invited to be on a panel for affordable health care. And many folks said, you know, you're a powerful speaker. Have you went to school for this? And I'm going, no, this is my truth. And I'm not ashamed anymore. My story is my glory. And so from that, I just kept, I just never became silent again. And so I was approached to run by my elite campaign manager, Jared Parrott, and my 2018 senior advisor, Jamie Blake. And I was very intimidated by the conversation after they stated what the position was. And all I could think of, House of Delegates, Barbara Fleshhauer. I am no Barbara Fleshhauer. And to have Ms. Barbara take me under her wing and give me a platform and be an ally was a change that I wanted to see. And so we claimed small wins during the campaign trail. So the night of the general election was a bonus for us. And when I say us, I don't mean Friends of Danielle Walker. I mean District 51. I mean all Mountaineers in our mountain state. I mean all persons across the world. It meant that an everyday single mother could do it, and you could too.
Absolutely. That sounds like an incredible night for you, like just thinking about that. What were some of the things that were going through your head when you found out that you became the delegate?
I wasn't thinking about it. I was actually consoling someone who was in the process of losing an uncle. And I seen the glow in Delegate Evan Hansen's eyes. And I was trying to get to him to congratulate him on his win. And I was trying to make myself through the crowd. Someone was like, you did it, Danny. I said, yes, we fought very hard. and someone else grabbed me and made me stay still and said, no, you are Delegate Danielle Walker. And I remember, like, moving that person very fastly out of my way so I can go and meet my mother. And it was the best moment I could have shared with my mom. It was that true publisher clearinghouse moment where you go, is this really happening? But we did it. And I was at a whisper. And to see my mom pop out of her chair and be so proud and understand the hard work and the due diligence and the late nights and the scares of my home being egg and being ran off the road and being approached leaving events, it was worth it.
Absolutely. That sounds like a really powerful moment shared for you and your family.
Yes.
And not just your friends and everything, too. Since becoming delegate, what has that meant for you and your family?
It is an everlasting educational moment for us. I am happy to share different conferences with my family. My youngest son is now homeschooled, so he can come to work with me. And he's with me every other week when we are in session in Charleston. To grow our family, to have people step up when they know that I'm out of town and make sure that my mother's driveway is shoveled if it's snowing. It brings humbleness to us also. Being a family of color that's not originally from West Virginia and being so comfortable in giving something back to our second chance state.
Absolutely. So you said that you're not originally from West Virginia. Where are you originally from?
I'm originally from Louisiana. I moved to West Virginia in 2010 with my ex-husband. He came here with a job opportunity in the oil and gas industry. And we just love Morgantown. I was very excited about the same community events that would happen every year, like the chili cook-off, the blue and gold sale, going to Cooper's Rock. Those things just like empowered us. Having dollar days for college games, whether it was basketball or gymnastics, that empowered us. Didn't understand the couch burning when we first got here.
Not many people do.
and understanding that a Mountaineer just wasn't a mascot for WVU, but it was a way of living in West Virginia. Understanding that Country Roads was about unity and solidarity and the strife and the struggle and the trials and tribulations, but the progress and the accomplishments of all West Virginians, that was empowering.
Yeah, as absolutely nothing like singing Country Roads anytime after a game, at a party or something. I was at a wedding a year ago, and we were driving on the bus on the way back from the wedding, and we were all just singing Country Roads.
Yes.
There's only like two people on the bus who went to WVU, but everybody knew the words, and everyone sang their hearts out. Like, that kind of spirit is not just limited to the state's borders.
Yeah.
It's everywhere, and it's absolutely incredible. I can definitely agree with you on that.
Yeah.
So you, when it comes to your Facebook posts and when it comes to your campaign, you use the words one love a lot. And you said
yes.
That it's a lifestyle before. Do you mind talking a little bit about one love and how that's come to be such a mantra for you and your campaign?
Yes. So I wrote a poem right when I started to regain my voice again. And it was The Power of One. And with everything that was going on in the world, in the United States, in Charlottesville, from D.C. to Louisiana to California, and we just kept using the quote from Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. that only love can drive out hate. And so I remember the night of Charlottesville. I wore a Bob Marley shirt that stayed, had one love. And that became my march and rally and vigil shirt with my green Chuck Taylors. That was my standing outfit. That shirt has no more color to it. But I wanted that message to go on. And so I needed something before that message came out. And so we did Take a Stand along with One Love. And many folks thought that it was just going to be a trend or a fad. But I kept it going. It was One Love during Pride Month. It was One Love before Pride Month. It was One Love after Pride Month. It was One Love of every minute, of every hour, of every day, of every month. And we even went as far as doing a One Love campaign fundraiser when I decided to put my name back on the ballot in 2020. And so I now wanted my neighbors to spread the One Love message. And it didn't stay just in West Virginia. We mailed shirts to California, to Omaha, to Iowa, to Idaho. That meant that that movement was bigger than West Virginia. It was bigger than District 51, and it was bigger than Delegate Danielle Walker.
Incredible to be able to hear that. Like, even outside of the state, having that kind of impact, like, how does that feel for you to have, like, to contribute to that One Love sort of movement?
I want to say that it makes me happy, but it saddens me at the same time that they didn't find that representation within their own state. That the coal mining state that they speak so negatively about had a woman of color standing on the session floor speaking her truth about her gay son, fighting not only for him, but for his friends, for co-workers, for people in government who work for other elected officials who cannot stand up for themselves and be who they are, because love is love. It saddens me. But it made me so humble. And I made sure that I tried to reach out to each and every person and thank them. For someone to request a photo of you. Not a signature, just a photo of me, a single mom who grew up in the projects all her life. Partner family with Habitat for Humanity, working three jobs, no 401k. Affordable health care is her insurance. Surviving on sugar water for 3 months to make sure that her mother, diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer, would have the food supplements that she needed. Not knowing where the next dollar would come from. To make sure that her son could get to high school. Because leaving from a gated community in Cheatley, and then moving to HUD housing, he did not want to change schools. And as a mother, you do what you need to do for your children. And so with that, a lovely person in my campaign team, Julia Hamilton, named me the mother of the movement, because I just wanted to embrace and hold and hug everyone and say, I'm listening to hear, and I truly love you exactly where you are, and teach me so I can reach others.
I don't know how to continue from that. Holy crap. You know, I'm ready to start crying. You're already tearing up. Like, yes. That just shows how much what you do matters to you. and how much it matters to everyone that lives in District 51 and in the state. Sorry, I'll have to take my notes now because you've been doing so, like, you've had so many great things to say. I'm trying to, like, continue this. It's just incredible. You spoke out back in, I believe, February in the House of Delegates when there was homophobic language used on the House floor. And you have your speech on your shirt right now.
I do.
And what was that? I mean, if you don't mind talking about it, what was that moment like standing up against that, you know, proposed idea to, you know, basically kind of legalize discrimination against the LGBTQ community? What was that like for you?
It started the day before in the committee meeting, and I must give a sincere thank you and one love and much love, and I love y'all, to Mike Caputo, Dr. Margaret Staggers, Phil Desario, Michael Angelucci, and my shield, Delegate Evan Hansen, who immediately used their privilege to shield me from the hate that I have experienced from my 43 years here on this earth. To have someone sit across from you and discredit what so many cities have put in place with the non-discrimination ordinance, and for that to be taken away by a couple of words in an amendment, was so disheartening for me. And as everyone listened to that recording, a non-discrimination ordinance means one thing for the LGBTQIA plus community, and I wholeheartedly understand. But for a person of color, it is double security. And that was my truth. And for that delegate to insinuate that I cannot read, or that I don't read for understanding because I am already protected by this, means that I don't know what world he's living in. Because was Trayvon Martin protected by this? Was Eric Gardner protected by this? Was Sandra Blaine protected by this? And that was the reality. And as the tears rolled down my face, and all of my colleagues came and spoke, these were the only words that I could come out and say. And at that moment, I knew that I had continually to speak for, by, and with the LGBTQIA plus community. But at that moment, I told my 100 colleagues that I was proud of my gay son. And that is who I am. And I know who I am because I know whom I am and I know whose I am. And again, the next day, I did not sleep that night at all. I was more disheartened because my youngest son was with me and no longer wanted to be in the people's house. And I had to respect him where he was. And I stood strong getting into the elevator. I stood strong walking through the Capitol. I went through walking through the East Wing all the way to room 230E. And when I sat in my chair, and my baby boy hugged me, I broke down. And before I could grab my breath, my phone was ringing to say thank you. Someone had already put it on Facebook. It was another piece to the movement that we are one. This is us. No one has ever done this for us before. what is this us? We are all human. This is 2000. What? I was just shaken to my core. Evan came to me the next morning and he said, Danny, I think I want to say something on the floor. I said, well, you go for it. I can't. I'm numb. I haven't slept. I have bags under my eyes. I don't know. I'm a roller coaster of emotions. Evan, as you please. And again, Evan being my shield opened it up for me to have a platform and speak my truth, recorded this time, where everyone can watch. And for that, I will be ever grateful. And for that, I challenge everyone to do that. It's hard. I get it. We watch things on TV and social media, and there is even a series of what would you do? What would you do in that moment? We live them every day, and yet and still no one speaks up. It's not about you being in someone's business. It's about you being a true neighbor. It's about you being a true mountaineer. You love wearing the blue and gold and the mountaineer man for games. When you go out of town. But it is still a way of life, and I need you to be that mountaineer every day. In every place. Every time. I don't mind going against the grain. And I don't do it for fame. I do it because someone feels voiceless. Hate will not smother another person. Hate will not take another life. Hate will not take my second chance state. Hate has no home here, there, or anywhere. And even if it just takes one of us, it counts for all of us.
Thank you for sharing your truth, no matter where you're at, whether it's on a podcast show, at a protest, on the House floor. It's incredible watching you do what you do. And no matter what audience you do, you know, you're with, you are the same person. I am terrible with words right now.
You're fine. Thank you for having me.
This is so great to finally have you on the show. So I've seen allies for the LGBTQ community, of course. I haven't seen someone fight as vocally as you. I haven't seen as many. What motivates you to be so outspoken, so determined to fight for this community?
I know how it feels when someone calls themselves an ally, but they really don't understand the true meaning of an ally. And so I try to lead by example. Right. So going to a drag show or going to a PFLAG meeting or going to an event with Morgantown Pride or having a tape with the Power of One or with the West Virginia Fairness Gala, it goes beyond that. I need to see you when there is no lights, camera, and action. I need to see you when that person is hurting. I need to see you when that person is attacked. I need to see you when that person looks at a bathroom where it has one gender on it and it's unsure. I need to see you when there is a young man using a restroom and an administrator feels that they can go in to watch someone use the restroom. You bet your bottom dollar I will be here, there, and everywhere and being very vocal. For one, because I've been through it. Not because I'm gay. Because of my year-round tan. And I know what it meant to me when someone stood up for me, whether I was in their presence and when I wasn't. I know what that feels like. When you get invited to a child's birthday party and you're the only brown people there and no one judges you, that's progress. I know what it feels like when someone takes my birthday fundraiser when we had several performers and singles out one particular one, and oh my goodness, she's an amazing human being. Robin Hart's love is a drag queen. She is a stylist. She has the most beautiful heart ever. And when someone outrageously and openly pull that one segment, I know we are doing something right. But I still have to make sure that my friends and my family and my community members are protected. After I won the primary and I came up with that hashtag, more than a constituent, I meant that. You are my neighbors. My neighbor who may not have a home, you are my neighbor. My neighbor who is struggling with addiction, you are my neighbor. My neighbor who chooses to love whoever they love, you are my neighbor. My neighbor who is in HUD housing, you are my neighbor. My neighbor who is in the top 1%, you are still my neighbor. You are my neighbor even if you are not 18 years young and don't hold a voter registration card. You are my neighbor. You are my neighbor even if you are in a jail cell. You are my neighbor. This is who I am.
You make that clear, not just through how you're acting, but like just through what you share, how you live. And thank you for being so authentic too. And I remember earlier you wanted to say that you wanted to discuss progress in West Virginia.
Yes.
You talked a lot about some of the, you know, like obviously some like the it's reality, some of the negative aspects.
Yes.
But the positives are also part of that reality too.
Yes.
So what are some things that you think are progressing so far in West Virginia?
I mean, we start at the bottom. We always look at the top of the ballots, right? We always look at who's on top and the trickle down. But I truly feel if we flip that and we put the people on top and we put those of us in government at our city levels, at our county levels, at our state levels, then the federal levels, there's going to be a change like no other. That's what I'm excited for. When I can walk into Senator Manchin's office, and I tell him, don't look at me as a colleague right now. Don't look at me as Delegate Danielle Walker. I need you to look at me as a mother. And can you please listen to my son at this moment? Because guess what? We need the Disability Integration Act right now. And I can go to a conference and I can start filling out. And they're not only asking me about my sex, but they're asking me about my gender. And they're asking me about my pronouns. This is how we make the change. And I really, truly feel that that should be a change across the board. I am Southern. My children were taught, yes, ma'am, no, sir, yes, sir. But where do I incorporate they and them? As a parent, it is my due diligence to research, to be in those meetings, to find those persons and tell them, help me. See, it works on both sides. And so I apologize immediately when I say the wrong pronoun, because I want people to understand I'm human. And I have such a good open relationship. Even if I'm on stage and I'm reading from my phone, someone will immediately text me and be like, Danny, you. And I'm like, oh, yep, thank you, such and such. I did it at the Morgantown Pride Party. And I was so thankful for Molly to correct me with Ashbury's pronouns. And Ashbury, I must give out a shout out for Ashbury for organizing that vigil for Charlottesville, for Ashbury of being part of my campaign team, for Ashbury of being part of Morgantown Pride, and just being so intersectional. This is what we must do now.
And events like Morgantown Pride, it just, you know, personally, as I mean, Morgantown's been my home for the last almost 3 years now. Seeing that, it just gave me so much hope for the future of West Virginia after I leave Morgantown. You know, it just, I am so glad that we have something like that in our city. It's about time, right?
Yes.
Charleston's been doing it for years.
That's right.
But another thing I noticed this year with Pride, there's more cities that were celebrating Pride this year than I had ever seen before. You know, Morgantown, Charleston, Parkersburg. I was at Parkersburg. I'm trying to think where else.
Beckley.
Huntington had their Pride, yes, too. There's so many others. If we forget, I'm sorry. But just seeing all of those events, like, you know, not all of them were in major cities.
No.
These were all towns celebrating Pride together. That is incredible to see that happen.
And it needs to happen more often. I just learned that there is a Black Pride celebration in the month of September in Atlanta, Georgia. And I was just stunned. But I'm learning, right? And all the different PFLAG organizations that are coming about for parents. That helps, because I remember when my son first told me that he was gay, I had so many questions. And he looked at me and said, you need to go educate yourself. And I did. I attended a Planned Parenthood conference in North Carolina. And that's when I was first introduced to pronouns. And I made a commitment to myself when I would go into a new environment, I would make sure to identify pronouns because I wanted to know how many other people didn't know, right? And so that was my little give back. And so it happened 2 weeks ago in Fairmont when I got on stage at the Unity Fest and I started speaking about pronouns. And someone who's actually running for a county commission pulled my youngest son to the side and they had a 45-minute conversation about pronouns that made me proud. It really made me proud because it meant that he's paying attention and we're doing what needs to be done as a community. And I would love so much for that to just carry on until the sports that our children play. When we go to the grocery store, we have name tags to identify those pronouns and not assume. And so it's empowerment.
So, I mean, you pretty much covered everything I wanted to talk about. Is there anything else that I forgot to ask about or anything else you'd like to discuss before we sign off?
I have nothing else I would like to discuss, but I would like to leave the listeners with one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that I make people do all the time. And so I usually repeat something and we say one love together. And I think that this is something that everyone needs to hear at some point in time. And so love myself. One love. Love others. One love. Learn more about my culture. One love. Learn more about other cultures. One love. Don't be afraid to be uncomfortable for a moment, to be part of a movement. One love. I am Delegate Danielle Walker.